I'll call the meeting to order. This regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. It is Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. It's 5:32. This meeting is held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. The public, they can call in 509-473-0276 and enter 381-130-877 pound. So we'll call the meeting to order. And you can also email Nathan Butler, anybody that would like to make a comment later, at butler@sjcphd1.org if you wish to comment. I'll have Nathan do roll call, please.
Sure. Commissioner Clary.
Present.
Commissioner Lehman.
Present.
Commissioner Lindstrom.
Present.
Commissioner Lachine Seitz.
Present.
The Commissioner Loring is absent, may join us later. And then we have Superintendent Hutchins.
Present.
And I'm Nathan Butler. Everyone but Kyle is present.
So next we have consent agenda. Just regarding the agenda, please note that we have moved the board reports to the end. Are there any objections?
No.
Okay. Any other amendments to our agenda this evening? Oh, there's Commissioner Loring. He made it. Great. Hi, Kyle.
Good evening.
Hey, Kyle.
Just getting started here. Glad you could make it. We were just approving the consent agenda, mentioning that we have moved the board reports to the end. Any objections or amendments to our agenda? I hadn't heard any, so I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I second that motion.
Hold on, you gotta make a motion to approve the agenda first.
Oh, and then I thought. Then I second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That's unanimous for you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Now we move to audience participation. We have a 15 minutes allocated for audience participation and comments over a maximum of 3 per person. We can go ahead and ask the members of the public that would like to speak at this time that you can press *6 to unmute. Let us know, announce yourself if you'd like to speak so Nathan can manage the list of people that have comments this evening.
Yeah, for the board's information, we have about 6 callers and a few staff members present. So a little lower attendance than in the past, sort of more normal for us.
And does anyone have any comments at this time, Nathan?
I've received, I'm not hearing anyone from the public and I didn't get any emails, so I don't think so.
Okay. In that case, we do have comment time at the end of our meeting in case someone wasn't able to unmute themselves, and we'll move on to unfinished business at this time. So following committee reports and discussion, I don't believe there was an off-island transport meeting, was there?
No.
No.
Thank you. The Community Collaboration Committee. Gail, Trish, anything to report on that end?
Gail?
Well, yes. Let's see. They okayed a continuation for the funding that goes to pay for the coordinator for the vulnerable populations group through the ACH. So that will continue. And there was an update on Hospice of the Northwest and an update on the HRSA grant, but nothing that we haven't heard or that we won't be hearing ourselves. So on those two fronts. So it was a good discussion about hospice, and there's been more discussion today, and we're going to talk about that later. So we're there on that, I think.
EMS and Trauma Care Council?
No, they don't meet till December 10th.
Anything new on the civil investigative demand, the CID? I don't think we've heard from our attorney, so I'm assuming not.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay, great. Finance Committee, other than Everett and myself being in quite a few budget meetings lately, being that this is the time of year and we had a budget hearing last week, I think that everything seems to be on track. There wasn't anything outstanding regarding budgets, really. This past week, we're starting to see property tax revenue come in and our coffers fill back up for our subsidy to Peace Health. So that's great. I didn't have anything to add there. Everett, did you?
No, it's the happy time of year when the money's coming in, you know. It'll be interesting to see what happens next year, but right now it's a good time of year.
Yeah. The Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation and long-term care, is there anything to report on that?
No.
Okay.
Well, that would be related to the HRSA grant.
HRSA grant.
Yeah, there haven't been any open meetings yet with different collaborators, so we'll see when that's supposed to be next. Maybe Pam will have more information on that down the line.
Okay. We have the Community Relations Committee, and that's Trish and myself, and I think on our end, we fielded a few concerns from citizens regarding the sale of Hospice Northwest. I know that Trish has been really involved in outreach on that particular issue, and there's not much else to report there. We did have a really two great meetings this week with our staff paramedics and our staff EMTs, and and Lainey too. I had a great phone conversation with Lainey as well as a follow-up because she couldn't make the others, and really appreciate all of their time and their commitment
and their input. I was very appreciative of that, the chance to talk to all our staff EMTs and paramedics. It's really good to know what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. And their input. Very valuable.
Yeah, and next we wanted to just touch in on integration of EMS and fire. It seems to just kind of be a non-event topic at the moment. I did have a chat with Commissioner Jarman the other evening, and it was really nice to check in with him. I told him that our board is finalizing sort of a list of what our absolutes are for what we need to see happen for integration processes to move forward. I did bring up, asking about the steering committee and what it was going to take to get that organized and moving again, because that's a great place to start work tackling some of these issues and such. And he said that at this time, they are not interested in a committee, a steering committee meeting, and that he would prefer things were handled between our superintendent and their chief. So we will start there. I think we can talk more about that later, of course, about what our absolutes are. So, and I think we have a pretty solid list anyway. So does anyone else have anything to add to that?
Well, I guess, just frankly speaking, I'm really saddened and disappointed and really rather tired of the roadblocks that have been thrown up by fire for communication. I think it's very inefficient to say that the communication can only occur between Norman Collins and our superintendent, Pam Hutchins, or that it's only if both groups of commissioners meet together. We know that last meeting did not go well. And quite frankly, when I read on Facebook, you know, we're all in this together. Well, I don't know. Are we? And I'd really like for us to be in this together. I would like to see more open communication and less obstruction. And I feel like there's obstruction from FHIR towards EMS, towards us, the hospital district commissioners. And we need to have open dialogue. We need to have conversation. I feel very strongly about that. And I think it's a real disappointment. And it does not serve our community at all by throwing up roadblocks. So I just, we need to iron these issues out sooner than later. And I'm disappointed in FHIR that we're having these roadblocks, that we can't, that it's no longer an option for us to have the Joint Response Committee, that we can't have our steering committee meetings. And
I did bring that up. I did bring up the Joint Response Committee. And, you know, it should be noted that the staff of EMS and FHIR are working really well together on scene, and they should be commended for that. And he said that he would talk about the Joint Response Committee with his chief.
Good.
So that,
good.
I should have mentioned that.
Good. And I was very heartened to hear that they are working together, that FHIR and EMS are working well together. I mean, that felt really good. And that's where, you know, what the rubber meets the road. You know, that's what really matters is their coordinated efforts on scene delivering emergency care. And but our boards need to be able to talk. So,
you know, I think Dr. Corsa is back from Afghanistan, and I'm happy that he's back, that he's made it back safely. And I think it's important because he is something of a liaison between the agencies. And I think that any commonality that we have needs to be emphasized, needs to be worked. And I think that that's how we're going to establish open two-way communication, is whatever there is, that's what we need to work. So I'm glad he's back. I'm glad that our people are working together, FHIR and EMS. And so whatever there is, that's what we need to work. So, and then we'll see where, if that can grow or if it dies, we'll see.
Thank you. Any other comments on this particular topic from anyone?
I've got a couple of thoughts. I didn't see anything in here necessarily to discuss the recent internal survey that we did with EMS on the topic of integration. Maybe I missed that on the agenda, but if not, I'll address it here.
Sure.
And just say that it looks like on balance there is support internally to move forward on the topic of integration. And if that's the case at the agency level, then I support that. And I will say, I don't know that I've observed roadblocks exactly. I don't feel like I can't call somebody if I want to, but I've been working through the process that we have. And I think we should continue to do that and identify, again, kind of the concerns that we've had and maybe try a restart with the other board. And I actually think, to be fair to the FHIR District Board, it may be a little challenging for them to know exactly where we are. So I think it's really important that we say, yes, we're in favor of continuing to explore this, or no, we're not. And to the extent we are, let's put together our list of concerns and issues that we think need to be resolved, see if those match up as well as they did last time, which was actually pretty closely, and then get moving on it.
If we can get those lists of absolutes and give them to Pam, she can talk to Norvin about them and begin that process too.
I have that list that we banged out previously, so I'll get that off and get those forwarded to all of you so we can approve and then move forward there. So let's see, should we talk about the potential sale of Hospice of the Northwest? And I'm sorry that, I know Trish has been spending, you've had a couple meetings today on this already. It's been a busy time. I'd like to hear what's going on from you and from Gail on that.
Well, I did speak at the United General Hospital district meeting this morning at 8 o'clock in support of not selling Hospice of the Northwest to a private equity company. And there were some wonderful presentations. There was, we had Charlie Anderson from our community and speaking on behalf of the San Juan Community Foundation. And we had Dave Zaretsky speaking. And we would have had a couple more people, but there were some technical challenges on their end. And community members and staff members and that did some great research. And then today at 11:30, I was invited to be a guest at the Board of Health meeting. And I had no idea that the CEO of Skagit Regional Hospital and Brian Ivey and the board chair of Skagit Regional Hospital District, Julie Blasek, were also there. So that was a great opportunity. It gave me a wonderful opportunity because there are very few opportunities to have open dialogue and open questions. And this was the first that I was aware of where Brian Ivey was available to answer questions. And I will tell you, there were four physicians at the Board of Health meeting, and every one of them was, some were outraged at the idea that Hospice of the Northwest, which is a stellar hospice, that they would even consider selling to a private equity organization. And all spoke out against it, gave great reasons why. Rick Hughes spoke out against it, and there were opportunities to ask questions, and I had the last opportunity to ask my questions because there are questions that need answering that we still don't have answers for. And but it was good, and you know, there's just tremendous support for not selling Hospice of the Northwest. There's over 3,000 signatures on a petition to not sell Hospice of the Northwest. 3,000, that's pretty phenomenal. So, and any of you that might be driving to the mainland, you will see a new sign in the next 48 hours, a 20-foot sign by 4.5 feet on the side of the Tri-D building across from the Mount Vernon Co-op that will say Keep Hospice of the Northwest Local, and then the website that anybody can go to, which is savehnw.org. And there's all kinds of information on that website. So, you know, I'm hopeful that we keep the heat turned up, and because it will be the commissioners of those two hospital districts that will be the ultimate decision makers. And so I'm in great hopes that it won't happen, but we'll see.
Do you think there's anything else that we can do as a hospital board in this regard? I know we've reached out to the commissioners on Orcas and Lopez regarding this. I'm glad our county
still haven't heard. Yeah, I'm in touch with. I just emailed Ann Presson today, and and offering up my phone number and my availability at any time to talk with any of the Lopez Hospital District board members and Orcas Hospital District board members, because I would love to have their support in this endeavor.
Has our Board of Health taken this up as well?
Oh, our Board of Health voted unanimously at the end of their meeting today to send a letter of support to not sell Hospice of the Northwest. So that letter will be going off to both hospital districts and both CEOs of Skagit Regional Health and United General Hospital. So that was very heartwarming. There was no delay in their unanimous decision to send a letter of support to not sell Hospice of the Northwest. That was really comforting.
Good. I'm glad there's so much community support.
Yeah.
Gail, do you have to add to this on your end?
Well, I just will attest that Trish did an awesome job of coming back time and again saying, you really, you think you're going to improve the quality of you know, Hospice of the Northwest by privatizing and requiring profits for your equity partners, and it's going to somehow get better and not worse, and stating that, you know, the staff's response to this experience in other places has been terrible, you know, just pushing on this, you know, idea that he's saying there's probably going to be better quality with, there might be better quality with this firm. And it's just like, it's just a joke. Yeah. So it was really a good meeting. And John Guymon was quite good as well about privatized medical care. So
yeah, he was awesome.
His book and stating like research and whatnot. So I thought it was great. So I'm heartened that I was heartened by all the speakers. I didn't say anything because I was like, wow, everybody has said it. It just, it was amazing. So
it was amazing.
Kind of support, yeah,
I just was like, my heart was swelling. Like, you guys are great. And they,
James was in there just like, Frank really, come on.
Great. He said, I am outraged that you would consider this. So that was,
awesome.
That was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll hear good things. And I think we've done what we can for right now. And we just need to follow.
Yeah.
I
was present at the United General meeting online the whole time, all the way through their meeting, in fact, to their executive session, which was 10 minutes long, by the way. But that was a shocker. But I would hate to be a commissioner and be the brunt of a presentation like United General had to endure. It was an amazing presentation. Everything from the community response to a business presentation of why not to get rid of it, to a legal one, it was just, it covered every facet of the issue, every facet. And then in their regular meeting, they dealt with the financials of Hospice of the Northwest. And my gosh, it's valued at $1.7 million on their balance sheet and is in the black by several hundred thousand dollars this year. And their superintendent said, you know, while they are suffering in many areas, this is one of the few that is doing very well. So United General is like a 50% owner of Hospice of the Northwest. So the sale of it is going to require United General's approval. And I think that they are not really the ones that are behind or necessarily amenable to the sale. And in seeing the presentation and especially the financials of it, and it's like, I think there's really, really strong evidence that I don't think it's going to go through, even if Skagit wanted it to happen. I think it would be hard for it to happen. So So I would think that what we can do is to stay, to keep it on our agenda, to keep our ear to the ground, to stay participating and to stay present in meetings. And that's what we can do, not let anything slip by.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. Well, if we are done with unfinished business, we can move on to new business, and we hopefully can complete all of our budgetary work that we have been diligently focused on the last few weeks, if not months. So we have, I think, three agenda items here, and they all need to be approved today, and if not, we will need to have a special meeting to approve them. I want to grab my packet here you go. So the first is the resolution 20-533, the San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1 2021 budget. This budget is as presented in our November 12th budget hearing, with no changes.
The final figure, which was presented November 12th, was a general fund budget for 2021 for $2,435,788. And that is the figure that is on the resolution 25-3 for San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1.
Can I make a motion that we accept the budget?
Yes. I second that motion.
Do we have any discussion? No discussion. I'll call for a vote. All in favor of approving resolution 20-533, San Juan County Public Hospital District 1, setting the 2021 budget. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, unanimously. Thank you. Let's see, moving on to resolution 20-534, our 2021 tax levy resolution. So this resolution states that the board wants to wants the 1% increase possible under state law. And Nathan, do you want to explain this a little bit? Do you think it's, or does anyone have questions about this?
Sure, I can explain it briefly, although it's even the best explanation isn't super coherent. But basically what's going on is any year that property tax values increase, if you were to take, say, property tax increased by 5%, then your levy rate of a 5% larger assessed value would be 5% larger, right? I mean, you would have 5% more money. But state law prohibits you from taking 5%. The maximum of that increased assessed value is 1%. So that's really all that's going on here. But you do have to say that you want that. And then next year, the consequence then is that your levy rate is going down because you're taking a smaller percentage of the total assessed value. So next, this year we're at like 41 or whatever it is. Next year we might be at 39. And then gradually the retirement decreases. But anyway, that's all that's going on. You get the 1% maximum increase plus new construction. So any new construction, people pay taxes on. You build a new house, you obviously have to pay taxes on that. So we get to collect that. But this resolution specifically only deals with the 1%. The tax levy certification, which is the next one, that speaks to the new construction as well. So is that as clear as mud?
Why, yes, thank you.
That makes sense.
It does.
Well, I make a motion to pass the resolution.
I'll second that motion. Do we have any discussion? In that case, I'll call for a vote on resolution 20-534. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. And we'll move on to did that encompass all of it, Nathan, or do we need to discuss tax levy certification as well and vote on that separately? That's part of that resolution, isn't it?
You need to pass the tax levy certification. Motion, but you only use sign it.
All right. Okay, so as part of that, we have the 2021 tax levy certification. I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept that levy certification.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second that motion.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yeah, I do have a question about this one. I noticed that the number is a different number than any of the numbers associated with the resolution we just adopted, I believe. Why is the regular levy number different on this than what we were seeing on the other document?
This levy certification has a higher number because you have to, what you state in your certification, if more money comes in for the tax levy, if you have it set the highest allowed on this document, then you don't, or you're not eligible to receive the extra funds that come in. So on this document, we set that rate a lot higher just for the fact that if more money comes in, we do get to claim it.
Yeah, it's basically the highest estimated best guess of what we think we might get. And it takes into account new construction because we're passing this levy certification, but the year's not over. So next year, maybe they finish a bunch of houses and there's another $30,000 on the tax rolls. So you just basically estimate really high, but you only get whatever amount the assessor's office gives you. I mean, you can put as high a number as you want, doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get it. But if you don't put in a higher number, then you won't get it at all. So this is somewhat arbitrary number. It's the current best estimate of new construction plus 1% with some room.
Wait, sorry, just to make sure I understand that. In addition to the 1% this year and the estimate of the new construction this year?
Correct. Plus, like, some extra room just in case there's a bunch of new construction between now and the end of the year.
Oh, okay. And we would be assuming a lot of new construction, right? Because right now, the numbers we were talking about before for that levy, if we take the 1% bump and the new construction is under 1.4 million, about 1.391 million, but we're identifying 1.45 million. So it's a difference of what, about 60,000? So we just set the maximum amount we think we would possibly be able to levy based on all the legal increases that could occur.
Right. Correct. Yeah, that's all that's going on. The amount we'll actually get is determined at the end of the year, you know, when they actually know how much new construction there was. Yeah. And if for some reason that number was higher than this number, we wouldn't get it. So.
Okay. Odd system.
Weird, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's almost nothing about how taxes are done in this state that is straightforward.
If there isn't any further discussion, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous.